Well, everyone will glory in something, and for the child of God, to glory in God is our highest goal. If you have your Bible this evening, Job chapter 38. And just one verse of scripture here, Job chapter 38 and verse 31 says this: "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Job's name is synonymous with godliness, integrity, and character. For us to understand this verse, we must understand the condition of Job. Job is the richest person in the East. At that time, everybody was in the East, okay? He was the best man in the world. God looked at him and told us that. It is very apparent that Satan cannot afford to leave a man of his quality alone. So calamity comes to Job. I'm not going to discuss all the theological nuances of that, but because of a conversation between God and Satan, Job lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost his health. His wife failed him and said, "Oh, Job, why don't you cuss God and die?" So there sits Job, our hero, richest man in the world, best man on earth. And the Lord says to him in that hour, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" If I was in the condition that Job was in, I could care less about two constellations in heaven known as Pleiades and Orion. But there's a spiritual lesson that God gave to Job that I want to leave with you this evening. This ought to be something that will help you immensely. What was God telling Job? Pleiades is a small cluster of stars that make themselves more visible in the springtime. When Pleiades becomes more visible, spring is on the way. And God says, "Job, do you think that you can bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Job, do you think that it's always going to be springtime in your life?" Orion is a constellation that announces the coming of winter. "Job, do you think that you can loose the bands of Orion, that it's never going to be winter in your life?" So let me give you three lessons from this verse. First of all, you will face all seasons in your life. Job was in the springtime. He had a wife. He had 10 kids. The richest man in the world. The best man on earth. But then the bitter winds of winter began blasting Job's soul. Can't even imagine digging 10 fresh graves and burying all your kids. But Job did. His riches, his health are gone. And I picture Job before this time being very healthy and very positive and doing things wonderfully well, but now his health is gone. He is covered with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He hurts all the time. His wife has forsaken him, and the spring is gone. The balmy breezes are gone, and Job is shivering in the chill of the awful harshness of winter. Like Job, you will face all seasons in your life. The springtime of youth soon passes into the gathering in the barns of maturity. That soon passes into middle age, and with that comes the winter. What is your life? According to James, he said, your life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it is gone. In Psalms 90, your life is like the grass. In the morning it flourishes, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. Let me just say this. Take time for God. Give your very best to Him. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Second of all, in the springtime, prepare for the winter. If you go into Costco or Sam's Club in the springtime, sometimes even before it gets to be spring, the bathing suits are laid out, the ice chests, all the things that we need for springtime and summer are all there. But here's the deal. You can't bind the sweet influences of Pleiades nor loose the bands of Orion. It's not always going to be springtime in your life, and you can't avoid winter. Start preparing yourself now for your children leaving. Most of us, our kids have already left. I was thinking this afternoon, it's been 25 years ago that I had to give Beth away to a young man that was not worthy of her. And everybody told me that day, Brother Gray, this is a happy day. Be happy. And I'm going around with a frown because I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to walk down the aisle, and the pastor is going to ask me, who brings this woman to stand beside this man? Who brings this girl to give her away to this idiot? And I tried to smile. I tried to put on it, but it was difficult giving. And that's been 25 years ago. 18 years ago, I had to say goodbye to my son. Children grow up in a hurry. It's their thing. It's what kids do. And as we get older, we get more emotional. One of the things that I love about Ed Allman in his praying, many times he's got to stop and kind of gather himself and go on praying because he's so emotional when he's talking about his kids. Third, in wintertime, look for the spring. When it's cold and rainy, look toward the days of the daffodils and the nice days and going fishing and fixing up around the house and things that need to be painted, neighbors out front talking. You look forward to that. Job was in the wintertime, but springtime always follows the winter. Now I want you to go over a couple of pages in your Bible to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, and let's pick up the story in verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. Earlier in this chapter, he had 7,000 sheep and 6,000 camels. He had 3,000 camels earlier and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 500 earlier, and 1,000 she donkeys, 500 earlier. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you say, well, why didn't he have 20? He did. He had 10 in heaven and he had 10 on this earth. God doubled everything. And he called the name of the first one, of course, Old Jemima. Later called Aunt Jemima. And the name of the second, Keziah. And the name of the third, don't ever name your kid this, Karen Happock. And all the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And the father gave them inheritance among the brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. It's not a bad way to end your life. So let me ask you something. How will you die? That's something that all of us need to think about. Let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. The rich man in this chapter died unprepared. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin reading verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's true for every person. It's not what you have. It's your relationship to God that makes the difference. Here's a guy that has it all. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I've got it all, is what he is saying. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This individual made all the preparations to live, but he didn't give a minute about preparing to die. The rich man died unprepared. Ananias in Acts chapter 5. Go with me there. Ananias died unclean. Acts chapter 5 verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? And let me tell you, one of the most powerful things that Satan can do to us is fill our heart. Speak to us. Okay? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear fell on all them that heard these things. Ananias died unclean. Stephen died unafraid. Acts chapter 7, a page or so over. Acts chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That is, Stephen preached a message to them, and they didn't like it. And when he got through, don't ever think about doing this. If you don't like something, just tell me. You don't have to start biting me. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. "We don't like what you said." And cast him out of the city. Oh, my word. And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen died unafraid. One more. Paul died expectant. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. Paul's fixing to die here. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul died expectant. How will you die? That's a question for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking the word of God and speaking to our hearts with it, making us better, making us more like our Savior. Father, we just ask that you might help each one of us to love your word, to read your word, to memorize your word, to apply it to our life. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.